It's a big weekend as well, one that touches me personally. I woke up at 4 this morning. Anybody else wake up at 4 this morning to watch on TV the canonization of Pope John the 23rd, St. John the 23rd now? He was Pope when I was born, and I am an alumnus of the high school named after him, Roncalli High School on the south side of Indianapolis. Was also the canonization of Pope John Paul II. And Pope John Paul II served as Pope from the time I was 16 years old until the time I was 42. Certainly very formative years for me. I was a junior in high school when he was elected Pope. And I remember being very impressed with how he had dealt with the reality of communism in Poland and how he had very courageously promoted the Catholic faith even amidst all of the opposition of the communist leaders in Poland. He was Pope when I was in college, and I remember being very impressed with his vigor and his athleticism. He was a pope who skied, and early on in his papacy, he went skiing in the Italian Alps with the Italian prime minister, and when they got their gear on, the prime minister pointed in the direction of the ski lift, and the pope says, "No, we walk up to the top of the mountain." That's how he was. I remember he was Pope during the time I was in major seminary, and I had the privilege of studying in Rome, and I was present on many occasions at papal audiences and papal masses. I had the opportunity to shake hands with the Holy Father. There's a picture over there that proves it. And any comments about that making me now a relic will not be amusing. But I remember with gratitude that the day after I was ordained a deacon in Rome, Pope John Paul very generously extended an audience to the new deacons and our parents. And I have a picture of the Holy Father, now Saint John Paul, shaking hands with my mother and my father. And in that situation, when he would look you in the eye, you knew that you were the most important person in the world to him at that moment. That's just how he communicated the presence of the Lord. He was Pope when I was a younger priest, and it was under his watch and careful influence that the Berlin Wall fell in 1989, and like dominoes, all of those Eastern Bloc countries behind the Iron Curtain fell like dominoes, thanks to his influence. He was Pope at a time when his health declined, and I remember admiring him for continuing to serve, to continue to lead, even as he faced physical adversity. He was no longer as strong as he once was. He was no longer able to make the expressions with his face and articulate words because of the Parkinson's that he lived with. And yet very courageously did he serve until his death in 2005, and the world has never seen such a funeral. Over 4 million people came to Rome to mourn his loss, many of whom stood in line for upwards of 24 hours to pay their respects. And now this good man has been raised to the altars, and is known as Saint John Paul II. Thanks be to God. And on this Feast of Divine Mercy, this Feast of God's unfathomable mercy, that's an adjective that is used in the Divine Mercy Novena. Unfathomable mercy. The dictionary says that unfathomable means incomprehensible, mysterious, profound, impossible to measure the extent of. We can think of the unfathomable depth of the ocean, the unfathomable distances between the planets and the solar systems and the galaxies in the heavens. And we can speak of the unfathomable mercy of our good and gracious God, a huge reservoir of mercy for us to tap into. So great is His love. It is a mercy that allows us to say that God loves not just everybody, not just mankind, not just the human race, but God loves you and you and you and you and me. He loves us and He shows His mercy to us in a personal way. He cares very much about what is going on in your life. And He knows you well. And He knows of your and my tendency to miss the point, to get things wrong, to get off track, to take wrong turns in life, to descend into selfishness and self-centered pettiness. He knows us so well, and still He bestows upon us this unfathomable mercy that is ours for the asking. This mercy is ours for the asking anytime we choose to avail ourselves of the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. It is a mercy that gives us poor sinners a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance, and so on. It is a mercy that forgives our sins, a mercy that renews and strengthens us and gives us the grace to do better. The very history of this Feast of Divine Mercy is in and of itself a testament to the unfathomable nature of God's mercy. The origin of this feast goes back to a Polish nun, Sister Faustina. Born in 1905, she was born into a simple family. She was poorly educated. She lived only 33 years, the same number of years that our Lord spent on this earth. And very early in her life, she had an awareness of the incredible nature of God's mercy. She was given a special gift, the ability to see. She had a vision of divine mercy, a vision that our Lord instructed her to have painted. And this is the image that is displayed in church today, this image of the account we heard in today's gospel, the risen Lord walking through the locked doors, beholding His apostles, the very ones who ran out on Him, The very ones who didn't even put up a fight. The very ones who were feeling so miserable about themselves. He walks into their midst, and the first thing out of his mouth were the words, "Peace be with you." And he repeated, "Peace be with you," so they would understand. And he charged them with the task of passing on that forgiveness to others, whose sins you declare loosed on earth are loosed in heaven. The Lord gives to them divine mercy to pass on to others, and we tap into that divine mercy every time we receive the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. Faustina was instructed not only to have that vision of hers painted, but she was also given certain prayers from the Lord, prayers and the chaplet of divine mercy. And she was told by the Lord to do everything she could do to start an annual feast of divine mercy, beginning in her own convent and eventually extending worldwide. Sister Faustina died in Krakow, Poland in 1938. And in 1939, when the Nazi tanks rolled into Poland, that devotion to divine mercy was of great strength to the Polish people. They turned to the Lord. They prayed the chaplet. They took heart at the words that the Lord instructed to be inscribed at the bottom of the painting, "Jesus, I trust in you." And that devotion to divine mercy was important in Poland not only during the time of Nazi occupation, but also during the time of communist tyranny. And yet it remained a local devotion, known by and large only in Poland until the 1970s, when through the leadership of the Archbishop of Krakow, the devotion was permitted to spread worldwide. In May of 1978, he received permission from the highest authorities in the Vatican to allow that devotion to spread worldwide. 6 months later, that same Archbishop of Krakow was elected Supreme Pastor of the Church, taking the name Pope John Paul II. And he would see his papacy as being one of mercy. He would say early on that what the world needs most today is divine mercy. His encyclical letter that came out a year after he was raised to the papacy was called Dives in Misericordia, Rich in Mercy, a very beautiful encyclical letter that described and praised the incredible mercy that God the Father has for each of his children, you and me. 6 months after publishing that encyclical letter, Pope John Paul was wounded seriously by the bullet of a would-be assassin, a bullet that missed his aorta by just a few millimeters. This happened on May the 13th, 1981, the feast of Our Lady of Fatima. He would say later that while one hand squeezed the trigger, another hand guided the bullet. And in fact, that bullet is now found in the crown of the image of the Blessed Virgin Mary at the shrine in Fatima. Once Pope John Paul recovered from the tremendous loss of blood and the seriousness of his internal wound, once he got back to work, one of the first things that he did was to visit the prison where the would-be assassin was housed. And he met privately with Mohammed Ali Aga and extended to him his personal pardon and forgiveness. There's a picture of that moment by the Divine Mercy image today. Pope John Paul, Saint John Paul, held that mercy is not only what we receive, it is what we are called to give. That we are called to give divine mercy through our corporal works of mercy, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and our spiritual works of mercy, being one who encourages and helps and consoles. This divine mercy would be the way in which his papacy would be understood throughout his years as our Pope, bringing about the end of communism in one Eastern Bloc country after another. I'll give you a quote. The quote is this: "No other person on earth did as much to bring down communism in Eastern Europe than Pope John Paul II," end quote. That is a quote from none other than Mikhail Gorbachev. Our Holy Father, Saint John Paul II, would canonize as the first saint of the new millennia, Saint Faustina, the sister who had that vision of divine mercy, and he would make this Sunday after Easter the feast of divine mercy for the universal church. He himself would die on the eve of the feast of divine mercy, 2005, and now on the feast of divine mercy, 2014, he is added to the list of the saints. Praise God. Divine mercy is so that we might grow in holiness and that we might in turn spread that mercy to others, that we might evangelize. I encourage you at the end of Mass to take some time before the Divine Mercy image. Take a moment to thank God for the many ways in which he has been merciful to you, the ways in which he has been good to you, and ask the Lord's help in extending that same divine mercy to others.